Welcome to Tori Mecha Naf Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Melachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Chapter 11. This perek opens in such a jarring and confusing way. Hamelech Shlomo, King Shlomo, Ahav Nashim Nachriot Rabot, Ve'et Ba Paro. Shlomo loved foreign women, many foreign women, and also the daughter of Paro, Moaviot, Ammoniot, Adomiot, Sidoniot, Chitiot. All these women from all these other nations. There are two issues going on here. Number one are the laws of a king. These are too many wives. It says explicitly in Devarim Perek Yud Zayin, chapter 17, that a king isn't allowed to have so many wives. And here, straight out in the Pasuk, it says that Shlomo had so many wives. And we learned that he actually had 700 wives and 300 pilagshim. And this seems to be just over the top, so many. Mahari Kara notes that this is actually the third law of the king that Shlomo violated. We learned earlier that he also violated the law against the king not to have too much money, and also the law not to have too many horses. The second issue with this pasuk is that these women weren't Jewish, and even a regular person is not supposed to intermarry, but so much more so the king, who represents the country, who represents the nationalism, who represents the people's connection to Hashem. The Mefarshim, very interestingly, do not assume that these women converted. Rabag actually says straight out that Bat Paro couldn't have converted because only a third generation convert from Mitzrayim is allowed to marry in. The next few psukim after this are equally, if not more, disturbing and shocking. Pasuk Dalid, Vayihi le'et ziknat Shlomo, in his later years when Shlomo was older, Nashav hitu et levavo, his wives turned his heart, Achrei Elohim Achirim, towards other gods. V'lo haya levavo shalem im Hashem Elokav ki levav David aviv, and his heart was not pure with Hashem like his father's heart was. V'yelech Shlomo acharei asharot Elohi Tzidonim v'acharei milkom shukat Ammonim. He followed the gods. He followed the god of Tzidon. He followed the god of Ammon. V'yash Shlomo hara b'inei Hashem. The pasuk says straight out, Shlomo did bad in the eyes of Hashem. V'lo milei acharei Hashem ki David aviv, and he didn't follow Hashem like his father David did. And now comes one of the hardest psukim to read. Az yivne Shlomo bama l'chamo shukat Moav. Shlomo built an altar to a foreign god, to Kamosh, the god of Moav, Bahar asher al pnei Yerushalayim, on a mountain facing Yerushalayim, opposite the Beit HaMikdash. Ulamolech Shukat b'nei Amon, and an altar to Molech, the god of Amon, and we know that Molech was child sacrifice. V'chein asa l'chol nashav hanachriot, and so he did to all his foreign wives, supported and built altars to their gods. Maktirot u'mizbachot le'elohehan, they were bringing korbanot, and they were sacrificing to their gods. This is so confusing. How are we supposed to understand these psukim about Shlomo? So let's just take a minute and let's look at Hashem's reaction. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Hashem l'Shlomo, Yan asher haita zot imach v'lo shamarta briti v'chukotai asher tziviti alecha, because you've done this terrible thing and you did not keep my covenant and you did not keep my laws that I commanded you. Kara ekra tamamlacha me'alecha unetaticha la'avdecha. I am going to rip the country away from you and I am going to give it to your servant. We know in the last parak, Hashem had just told Shlomo that he would have his eyes on the Beit HaMikdash constantly, but Shlomo's kingdom would last only on the condition that he follow Hashem and keep the laws. And now we see that Shlomo ruined that condition, and he is now going to also lose his kingdom. And we see it's just so interesting in this, in what is presented to Shlomo, is we see echoes actually of how his father got his kingdom with the same language of when the kingdom was ripped away from Shaul. In Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet Vav, chapter 15, Pasuk Kavchet, verse 28, we read, Vayomer Elav Shmuel. Shmuel is speaking to Shaul, and he says, Kara Hashem et mamlachot Yisrael me'alecha hayom, unetana l'reacha hatov mimecha. Hashem is ripping the kingdom away from you today and giving it to your friend who's better than you. Now, it's just so interesting to compare these two psukim, because the David dynasty is losing the melucha in the same way that they got it, although it's really different because when the kingdom was taken away from Shaul, the pasuk says that it's going to be given to your friend who's better than you, kind of setting David up as a really wonderful person, also considering that Shaul himself was a good person. And here it says, in a much lower way, unetaticha le'avdecha, it's going to be given to your servant. And that seems to be something that is directed against Shlomo himself, this giving it to your servant, that the person who's going to run your special country, the country that you invested so much in, the country that you love, is going to be a servant, not a person of great stature, a person who is much more lowly than you. And that's something really just to ponder. And for Shlomo, also very difficult. All of this is so difficult. There are a couple of caveats. And the first caveat Hashem says to Shlomo is that this is not going to happen during your lifetime. This will happen after your death. And also, it's not going to be the whole thing. You will retain one Shevet. You will retain Shevet Yehuda. And we know that this also is eventually going to include Shevet Binyamin as well. And Yehuda and Binyamin are going to become a separate entity, and they are going to now, after this, be known as Malchut Yehuda, the kingdom of Yehuda, and the other tribes are going to be known as Malchut Yisrael. That's going to happen in the next parak. And Hashem says to Shlomo, this is because of your father, because I promised your father that he would, David, that he would have a lasting kingdom, and that's why you're going to keep one Shevet. And now we have to really ponder this question. How could Shlomo do this? Shlomo worshipped idolatry? Our wonderful Shlomo, our King Shlomo, who built the Beit HaMikdash, who's a tzaddik, who's a person who cared about the zonot, that he wanted to bring justice to the people, he had a revelation of Hashem. How could it be? So the Mefarshim all follow the Midrashic opinion that I'll quote Rashi in this, and the Mefarshim all accept this opinion. Rabotenu Amru, Mitoch Shalom Micha Benashav Nikrit Al Shmo. That our rabbis teach that Shlomo didn't actually commit idolatry. He himself didn't worship idolatry, and he didn't build any altars to any idols, but his wives did, and he didn't stop them. And therefore, it was considered that he did it. So this is a little bit more palatable. And I think, you know, this is so clearly the pshat of the pasuk. It doesn't make any sense that Shlomo would have this massive personality shift. And then suddenly in one parak, he's serving Hashem and bringing korbanot in the Beit HaMikdash. And then the next parak, he himself is doing idolatry. But this is consistent with what we see of Shlomo in terms of his wives and his relationship with other countries. So let's explore that a little bit. How could it happen? How could Shlomo bring wives in and then just let them do idolatry? So each wife represents something. Each of those 1,000 wives, they each represent a peace treaty, a trading partner. They represent prosperity. Each time that Shlomo made a marriage, he was also making peace. And remember, that was his essence. His essence was peace. He's able to run his country without fighting wars. And Professor Avraham Grossman adds that each wife was also a way of spreading the name of Hashem. We see he did this with the Queen of Sheba, with Malkat Shva. That every time he made a peace treaty with a country and brought one of their daughters in, which is a very strong peace treaty, he also taught them about Hashem and was really spreading Shem Hashem in the world. But it got out of control. There were too many. There was too much peace. He couldn't control it anymore. He couldn't get them to convert when there were 1,000 of them. And instead of him influencing them, in a way, they influenced him. The wives came to Israel and they brought their idolatrous ways with them. It's impossible that Shlomo got to know 1,000 wives. And it's also impossible that even if they did convert, that he would make sure and be able to make sure that they were following Hashem. But it is very possible that the dream of peace and how it could be achieved took hold of Shlomo and swayed his imagination until he made the ultimate mistake that he could follow his dream with necessitated going against the Torah, but still in some way be true to Hashem. While the Midrash and all the Mefarshim conclude that Shlomo himself did not worship idols or build houses to idolatry, and saying that he did would also really just be very inconsistent with everything that came before. Plus, the way that the psukim are expressed, it also doesn't seem to be like he did it himself. It's still true that the pasuk credits him as doing just that. And the fact that the psukim write about it in this way shows us just how bad what Shlomo did actually was. Making peace treaties is one thing, strengthening the economy, making political connections, even spreading the name of Hashem, all are not bad and actually good. But when that becomes the entire goal, when it takes up his life above all else, even his own values, then perhaps there is some type of idolatry inherent in these acts. Shlomo is no longer the one who it says about him, Vayahav Shlomo et Hashem, rather that Shlomo loved Hashem, rather we have come to a point where there's another more important goal in Shlomo's life. Hamelech Shlomo ahav nashim nachriot rabot ve'et baparo. Shlomo loved foreign women, and those are the bookends of the story of Shlomo. And we really just wonder, why did this happen? And the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kav Aleph Amud Bet, tells the following. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Mifneim la ma lo nigalu tamei Torah. Why are the reasons of Torah not revealed to us? Shehare shtei mikraot nigalu ta'aman nechshal behem gadol ha'olam. Because when the reasons were revealed, the greatest person in the world tripped up over that. What is this? So one example is that it says, lo yarbelo nashim, amar Shlomo, don't have too many wives, ani yarbev lo asur, I can do it, I can have too many wives, and it won't take me away from Hashem. And then it says in the pasuk, but it did. And the second instance is also where it says, lo yarbelo susim, don't have too many horses, but amar Shlomo, ani yarbev lo ashiv, I can have too many horses, it won't bring me back to Egypt. And then it says in the pasuk, but it did. There's a temptation that when mitzvot are explained, especially for the smartest people, to believe that he can fulfill the goal of the mitzvah without actually fulfilling the mitzvah itself, that there are restrictions that just don't apply to him because he'll be able to circumvent him. And that, according to the Gemara, is what happened here to Shlomo. And the pasuk goes on, Vayitanaf Hashem b'Shlomo in pasuk tet. In verse 9, Hashem is furious at Shlomo, ki nata levavo me'im Hashem Elokei Yisrael, hanir'eh elav pa'amayim, because his heart turned away from Hashem, the one who appeared to him twice. They had this relationship. They had this encounter. V'tziva elav, ala davar hazeh levilti lechad acharei Elohim acharim. Hashem had commanded him explicitly not to go after other gods. V'lo shamar et asher tziva Hashem. And he did not keep what Hashem told him. Shlomo's punishment begins in verse 11. V'yamar Hashem l'Shlomo, because you've done this and not kept my laws, I'm going to rip the melucha away from you and give it to your servant. This is a pasuk that we've spoken about already. And the punishment has two parts. Number one is that Hashem sets up enemies for Shlomo. These opponents are called satanim, or satan. And it's itself, it's an unusual word in Tanakh. Could be used to mean an enemy, but it also carries a connotation of a prosecutor, that there was a sin done, and this is the response. And there are three enemies set up. One is Hadad from Edom, the second is Retzin from Aram, and the third is going to be Yeravam ben Nebat, and that's going to be internal. So you have these two external enemies and one internal enemy. And the irony is that Shlomo was busy making peace with countries near and far through marrying their daughters, but the countries closest to him, Edom and Aram, and even inside his own country, were building up strength and were going to be able to hurt him. And this ends up being his punishment. He can control the world, but he can't even control his own home. He can't control his own country or his own region. The internal enemy now is going to be, this is the second part of his punishment, is that the kingdom is going to be ripped away from him. And the one who's going to do it is a man by the name of Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam was from Shevet Ephraim, which was always the challenger to Yehuda's dominance over the tribes. He is the chosen of one of Rachel's children, just as Yehuda is the chosen of Leah's children. And Yeravam complains against Shlomo. And Zeh HaDavar Asher Harim Yad BaMelech. This is the thing that Yeravam lifted his hand up against the king. This is what he criticized Shlomo for. Banat HaMilo, that he built the Milo, Sagar et Peretz Ir David Aviv, and he closed up the breach of the city that his father had, David, had not closed up. Rashi explains that what the Milo was, and remember, that's where Shlomo had built Bat Paro's, the extension of Bat Paro's palace, the place for her servants and the place where it's to close it up so she'll have some privacy. Rashi said that what Shlomo used to build up Bat Paro's palace was the Milo, was a place that when people would come to Yerushalayim on Aliyah L'Regel, on the Shalosh Regalim, when they would come for the three holidays, this was a place to congregate. So it was really like a communal area. And Abarbanel explains that the Peretz Ir David, that this was a part of the wall of Yerushalayim that David had left open so that that the people of Yisrael would have an easier way to get close to the palace, because it was right next to the palace, this congregating area, and David wanted people to have access to him. And we see that both of these things represent Shlomo cutting himself off from the people, not being available to them, and not being in tune with their needs, and also not available to judge them anymore because they don't have the same kind of access to them. This is a real contrast with Perek Gimel, where we see that these two zonot, these two prostitutes with their one baby, they do have a way to access Shlomo. Then we have the anointment story of Yeravam ben Nevat, and he's anointed by a Navi. The Navi's name is Achiah HaShiloni, and Achiah HaShiloni is wearing this new cloak, and he sees Yeravam, and he takes his cloak, and he tears it into 12 pieces, and he gives Yeravam 10 of the pieces. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31, he says, Kach lecha asara kra'im, take 10 of the pieces, ki ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, hinini ko rea tamam lecha miyad Shlomo, v'natati lecha et asara hashvatim. I, Hashem, am ripping the kingdom away from Shlomo, and I'm going to give you 10 tribes. Now, this promise to Yeravam is real. He's anointed by a Navi. That means Hashem wants him to be the king, and Hashem is really giving him every opportunity to be a good king. Hashem gives him a promise in Pasuk Lamed Chet, and it's a very similar promise to what he gave to Shlomo and also what he gave David. V'haya im tishma et kol asher atzavecha, if you listen to everything I command to you, v'halachta b'drachai, and you follow me, v'asita yashar v'nai, you do what's right in my eyes, l'shmor chokotai mitzvotai kasher asa David avdi, and you keep my laws like David my servant did, v'hayiti imach, I will be with you, u'baniti lecha bayit ne'aman kasher baniti l'David, I will build you a lasting empire, a lasting dynasty, just like I did to David, v'natati lecha et Yisrael, and I will give you the tribes of Yisrael, these 10 tribes. Just like the anointment is parallel to David, the ripping of the cloak, the promise is parallel to what David gets. This Bayit Ne'aman, it's a very special promise of a lasting house. Yeravam gets this possibility, but just like David did, but it is very conditional. In order to get it, he has to act like David. And we saw in Perek Aleph that the way our Sefer begins is with David at his weakest, and how he gained strength from his humility and his ability to listen to others, to his wife, to his Navi, the ability to face his mistakes and to face his path. Throughout David's life, his greatest strength was that he was able to do teshuva and recognize when he was wrong. Shlomo moved away from this, and Achiah instructs Yeravam that if he wants to be a great Jewish king, he needs to follow this model. This parak instructs us what it means to be a great Jewish leader. Strength comes not from wealth, power, or influence, even with the best intentions. Strength comes from being able to be weak, from caring about your people, from being able to clearly see right from wrong and not making justifications in order to do what you want to do. And of foremost importance, strength comes from humbling yourself before Hashem. The parak ends with Shlomo's peaceful death and tells us that he ruled for 40 years. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.